athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
For the Chiefs ring on finger look.
How the flu went out. You're locked into the dopest show on radio. From the press box to press row, I am your host, Donald Ware. Hope you're safe and secure wherever you are. And I know there are a lot of stay-in-place orders that are being had by states, by various counties, etc. So I hope you're continuing to stay safe, because for us to be able to beat this coronavirus, we need, you know, it's interesting because I was in Walmart the other day. I'll admit it. I didn't necessarily want to be there, but had to be there. And, you know, I saw a couple of, you know, people that didn't look like they, you know, were in the same household that, you know, shook hands and, you know, people getting, I tried to stay as far away from people as possible. I respect the 6 feet that the CDC is saying that you should be apart from people at a minimum. I'm respecting that to the utmost. Like, you know, I realize in a lot of respects, you have to be able to get out and do some of the things that are necessary. Some people still have to go to work. I get all of that. But, you know, at the very least, whenever you can respect that 6 feet and when you shouldn't be touching people and those kind of things. I mean, I know it's not like, I know it's not easy. That's the other thing about it, because sometimes maybe, and I don't know these particular people's situation, maybe they hadn't seen each other in a while, and sometimes you just get caught up in the moment. But, you know, people, if you're out and about, you got to be careful, because at the end of the day, the only way that we're really going to be able to beat this thing is to do a lot of the things, if not all, or most at least, of the things that the CDC has put into place. And it's continuing. I mean, this, you know, the spread of the coronavirus, COVID-19, is continuing to get worse. It's going to probably get worse. And I'm not trying to be some kind of doom and gloom kind of guy, but I'm just trying to be real. So if you're listening to me and you're within the sound of my voice, please heed and adhere to at least the 6 foot distance between people. So that's my coronavirus update for the day. A lot to get into today here on From the Press Box to Press Row. As a matter of fact, we're going to be joined by the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central, Lavelle Moton, here on the program. The Eagles winning the MEAC Tournament Championship, and they're in the initial game for the Eagles in the MEAC Tournament, blew Delaware State away. And then, of course, ultimately the MEAC Tournament was canceled, as most tournaments around the country were, but the Eagles won the regular season. And with that, Lavelle Moton, the head men's basketball coach of NCCU, going to join us today here on From the Press Box to Press Row. You know, I want to talk some National Football League free agency today on the program. I tell you what, and I talked about this last week. I think that, you know, Cam Newton really got a raw deal from Carolina. I tell you, I mean, and I don't know all of the intricacies, because my question would be, well, the Panthers signed Teddy Bridgewater, and that's the Panthers' prerogative. Like, you know, I think Cam Newton has done a lot, or had done a lot, for not only the Panthers organization, but for the surrounding community of Charlotte, and further for the states of North and South Carolinas, which share the Carolina Panthers. I think he's done a tremendous job. He's been an ambassador. He's done a lot in the community. So I'm just wondering why not, you know, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, you don't know if you're really going to be able to sign Teddy Bridgewater. So once they signed him, they let Cam Newton go. But, you know, I mean, that's a guy that to me, and when he's healthy, and I get it. I think that's the biggest concern with respect to Cam Newton is his injury history. And that is the issue. It's the issue why right now he's not signed. And, you know, I mean, there are a couple of teams out there that could, in fact, sign him. I think, you know, he would have he'd have to obviously clear a physical and all of those kind of things. But then you're taking a chance on a guy that has had a history of injury, didn't play in 2019, meaning last season. In 2018, I mean, the Panthers were well on their way to the playoffs. I mean, I think it's ultimately what got Ron Rivera fired, not so much 2019, because, I mean, you could forgive 2019 knowing that you're not playing with a Cam Newton, but it was more so 2018, I think, and really maybe a culmination of the two. But, you know, he's been really hurt the last year and a half. He hasn't really played more or less in the last year and a half. So I can understand a lot of trepidation by a lot of teams. But, you know, I think from the Panthers, he got a raw deal. Bridgewater, and that's great. 5-year deal. He's a guy that had some injury history as well, but I think he showed what he could do as the backup quarterback to Drew Brees. Went 5-0. Okay, went 5-0 and deserved the contract that he got. But I'm thinking maybe it's a situation where the Panthers should have made more of a commitment. I mean, I think in the media and a lot of the talk was, oh, it's a done deal. Cam Newton will no longer be with the Panthers. And that kind of talk was really happening during the course of last season when Kyle Allen started he started things off great and he was throwing all of these touchdowns and everybody was like, oh, we're going to move on from Cam Newton. We got our future quarterback, Kyle Allen, until he ended the season with 16 interceptions. And a lot of those interceptions were thrown in like his last 5 games. He had 17 touchdowns to 16 interceptions. And now where is Kyle Allen? Traded to the Washington Redskins. So a lot of this talk was happening, but I think there was a point where it looked like the two may come, meaning Newton and the Panthers may come together. They may sign him back, and then ultimately they went with Bridgewater. But man, I think they could have done Cam a whole lot better. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. Also, Jameis Winston, do you think, let me ask the question, and then I'm going to give you my opinion, okay? Let me ask the question. Do you think that Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback in the National Football League, and does he deserve to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League? You look at the numbers, and again, I'm not, you know, when it comes to professional in the National Football League and professional sports, I'm less about the numbers than the eye test. But if you're into the numbers, he threw 33 touchdowns to 30 interceptions. That's a lot of interceptions, no question about it. But it's also a lot of touchdowns. And by the way, threw for in excess of 5,000 yards. Like, throwing for 5,000 yards doesn't happen every day. That's not something that happens all the time. Guys don't just throw for 5,000 yards. You know, you see guys throw, you see a lot of guys throw for 4,000 yards. 3,000 yards is all, you know, it used to be a long time ago where if you threw for like 3,500 yards, you were doing something. If you threw for 4,000, you were really doing something. Now throwing for 4,000 yards isn't really that, you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to call it commonplace, but a lot of guys throw for 4,000 yards, but not a lot of guys throw for 5,000 yards. So my question to you is, Jameis Winston, a starting quarterback in the National Football League? Hit me up via Twitter at BoxTheRow, B-O-X-T-O-R-O-W, or on Facebook, B-O-X, the number 2 ROW. Thank you to all of the great affiliates around the country that carry From the Press Box to Press Row. We're talking about Jameis Winston. How about WURK in Tampa that carries the program, although we know Winston is not in Tampa? How about WNAA out of Greensboro? Or how about WRVS out of Elizabeth City? So many stations in North Carolina that carry From the Press Box to Press Row. And, by the way, while we're talking about that Carolina area, how about WVCD out of that Denmark, Bamberg, Orangeburg, South Carolina area? Thank you to all of our stations that carry From the Press Box to Press Row. Those that listen to us on Sirius XM, channels 141 and 142, and those that listen to us around the world at BoxToRow.com. I'm up against a break again. My question for you is this. Is Jameis Winston a starting quarterback in the National Football League? Not does he, should he get a starting job in 2020? Is he a starting quarterback in the National Football League? I'm going to share my thoughts with you on this very question. Give me your thoughts on Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BoxTheNumber2ROW. You can also hit me on my personal Twitter account at DWare1. Follow me while you're there as well. Or on my Instagram account at WareDonald. We're stepping aside. We're taking a break. We're coming back. We're going to table that discussion because on the line we have the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central, Lavelle Moten. Our conversation with Coach Moten is up next.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Let's continue here on From the Press Box to Press Row. We're joined by a gentleman in his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central. The Eagles winning another regular season MEAC championship in a big time win a couple of weeks ago against rival North Carolina A&T. As Lavelle Moten joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. What's going on, Coach Moten?
Man, I'm wonderful, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Always good to have you, man. Just how are you and your family getting along during this rough time for everyone?
You know what, man? It's, you know, we've learned to find the positive in negative situations. And, you know, my kids, they're just happy to be out of school, honestly. So they think it's somewhat of a break. And I'm happy to be at home, not necessarily under these circumstances, but, you know, as a head coach, you truly find out just in fact how much you're away from home and how much you're away from your family. So all we ever want to do is quarantine when we get the opportunity. So, you know, due to these circumstances, we had the opportunity a little sooner, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, no question about it. I want to get into a number of different things with you today. I want to start with this season unfortunately ending during the MEAC tournament, but your thoughts finishing the season as the MEAC regular season champ?
Well, that was one of our first goals, and to always win the MEAC regular season. And you know, we had a tough non-conference schedule. And not only because the caliber of teams that we were playing, because it's difficult for us to schedule, but because we were going through the injury bug. And not once this year did I coach my entire team. So, you know, it was this person hurt, that person hurt, this person sick, that person sick. So we just had the next man up mentality. And then we started trying to piece it together. We had so many new guys, so we knew it would take a while to gel. So we wanted to remain patient, but still hold them accountable in our everyday happenings, and they sustained it, and I'm extremely proud of them, because once we hit conference, you know, we were still hit with the injury bug, and we won a couple of games in overtime, and, you know, coming down the stretch, we needed every game to stay afloat and stay atop of the MEAC standings, and we were able to win, you know, a tight game at South Carolina State and won an overtime game against Bethune, man. So, you know, the basketball guys were certainly on our side, and, you know, as you mentioned, we defeated A&T for the title, so that was huge and bigger than we actually expected at that moment.
No question. I mean, obviously, it's not really de facto, but, I mean, at the end of the day, you're the regular season champions. There is no tournament champion. You're a great player at North Carolina Central. Did that game against A&T remind you, or does any game come to mind that you played in while you were at North Carolina Central as a player?
When I played, we played A&T as a rivalry, but we kind of dominated that rivalry when I was a player. Our rival was more so Virginia Union. So at that time, you know, with the great Ben Wallace teams and Warren Peebles and, you know, Thomas Meredith and those guys, so it kind of reminded me of the dogfight that we used to have against not only those guys but also Norfolk State.
Yeah. What about that? The loss to A&T. Let's go back to the loss, and then you rebound, don't lose a game after that. What is it sort of maybe that you said to your team after that game, after the loss to A&T, and then, of course, you avenged the loss to A&T with the victory ultimately for the MEAC regular season championship or title?
Yeah. I try to be honest with my team. All the time, you know, even throughout the peaks and valleys, I always try to be honest. And sometimes when you're honest, that don't necessarily make you a popular guy. But what I've learned in leadership, if everyone likes you, then you're not doing a good job of leading, right? So after our first game against A&T up there, we were horrible. And there wasn't no need for me to look at the film, because the looks that I saw on our guys' faces, I thought we were scared. Not scared of the team, scared of the moment, right? I just thought we were paralyzed, and we were doing things that was uncommon, unlike us, and I just thought the environment was too big for our guys. And, you know, mind you, we have so many new guys that it was their first time within the rivalry. So it's one thing to know and hear about the rivalry, but it's another thing to be involved in it. And I told our guys, I said, listen here, y'all were scared. And I thought we had one guy that played his normal self during that game, which was Ty Graves at the time. But everyone else, they just looked timid to me. And I said, I can't coach timid. You can't play timid. We'll be ready next time. Let's throw this tape out. And that was exactly what I told him after the game.
Lavelle Moten, just completing his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central, joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. And, you know, I know it's an incomplete season, but does this season, because it's interesting, you know, you win the tournament, the regular season, but the previous 2 years that you won the tournament, you did not win the regular season. Does this team remind you of any of your previous 10 teams, and more specifically the ones that have had more success?
You know what? It was really weird. This team, it was really weird. To answer your question, they didn't. I thought they were creating a path of their own, because it was so many unforeseen circumstances. You know, it was unusual. I think we've won the conference, the regular season and the conference tournament maybe two or three times. But with those teams, I kind of knew I had the best team, right? It was like playing a game of spades, and you've dealt the hand and you already know what you're working with. So you're trying to put in the joke on their forehead, just daring everybody. Like, so you know those teams. Then we've had situations where we just won the tournament, but we just got hot at the last minute, and I was starting some freshmen and some walk-ons, and nobody expected us to win it. But then you have teams such as this where you say, wow, they have potential, but I wonder if they will ever, you know, trust and buy into what we're asking them to do to ever reach their full potential. And slowly but surely, they start turning the corner. And I always tell them, I know exactly what team I have by Martin Luther King's day, birthday. And we started turning the corner. And we started buying in, and, you know, they started making ultimate sacrifices for the person that was standing next to them. So I thought we had a chance. And with success comes a bit of confidence. And I thought we had a chance. And after our first night against Delaware State, I thought we played outstanding. We jumped out. I think we was up 32-9 on them, and they were a pretty good basketball team. They had beat us early in the year, and I thought we were really good, and I thought we were hitting our stride at the right time, and then the cancellation of the tournament postponed all of those things.
Yeah. You know, I've known you a while. I remember your first year as an assistant coach under Dickerson. I was handling play-by-play for Central that year. And then all of a sudden you become the – not all of a sudden, but you earn the right to become, you know, certainly the head coach. And now it's been just completed your 11th season. Does it seem like 11 seasons?
It doesn't, man. Like, it's time flies, but it stays still if that makes any kind of sense whatsoever. I know that's somewhat of a paradox, but it doesn't, man. You know, you often equate time now when you're married and have kids. You often equate time with your kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And so people send you these posters, and then you have these Facebook memories that come up. And, you know, I remember we won the first championship, and my son was in my arms. Like, he wasn't even conscious of what was going on. Like, he was just that young at the time. And, you know, fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, he's climbing up the ladder, cutting down the nets himself. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And same thing with my daughter. So it was really a surreal time. And, you know, it's really weird, man, because it flies, but it remains the same. It stands still. It's really an unreal thing, man.
Yeah. You know, obviously, Jabri Blunt, a tremendous player for you. You know, talk about what, you know, he's sort of like the guy, you know, that really stepped up, particularly down the stretch, what he meant to this team. And it must have been pretty cool. I know it was for me when I was at the game to be able to see Mel Blunt in the stands.
Wow. I have to tell you this backstory to that.
All right.
You know, I'm a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Always has been, always will be. When I was young, I used to, you know, play sandlot football in my backyard, and I often pretended I was Mel Blunt, Donnie Shell, Franco Harris, you know, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth, all of those guys. And fast forward, someone who's like a father figure to me, Mr. Bill Hayes, right?
Yes,
who, you know, is a legend. Himself, you know, as far as a player and just an athletic director and a coach, like, he's just a black college legend. He called me and he said, man, I got a friend whose son said he wants to transfer to you, and you probably need to take him. And I was like, you know, I don't know, coach. Like, he said, man, I'm telling you. So I said, well, I'll get back with you, man. And he called me the following day. He said, man, you probably need to take this kid. And I was like, what's his name? And he was like, Jabri Blunt. He was like, it's Mel Blunt, son. And I was like, oh, wow, I remember Mel Blunt. That was like a childhood hero of mine. And I said, I'll look at his stats and, you know, take a closer look at him. I think Jabri was averaging 3 or 4 points coming from Cleveland State. And Coach Hayes was so persistent with recruiting me to take him that I finally said, man, okay, look, I respect Coach Hayes tremendously, and I looked further into it. I like what we saw with Jabri, and you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Lavelle Moten, the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central, joins us here on the program. Are you know, you're obviously entrenched there at North Carolina Central. It is your alma mater. You know, we've talked about the success that you've had, and it's been 11 seasons. Have you entertained thoughts about perhaps being a head coach at a school in a bigger conference, or one of the more bigger conferences?
Yeah, I think you owe it to yourself. You know, in any vocation, you owe it to yourself. And it's not disloyal or selfish. Like, you owe it to yourself. That's the right that you earn, whether you're a sanitation worker, whether you're a CEO, whether you're a UPS, FedEx, deliver, like, you owe that to yourself to seek opportunities for your family. And so, to answer your question, yeah, like, you know, opportunities have presented themselves, and we've taken a look at them. And when I say we, my wife and I, and I always check with them, with her and my kids, because whatever city I'm in, I'm probably going to be in a gym or on the road recruiting. So I just got to make sure they're the ones that's straight. And I have. And as to date, we haven't found the situation. I think it's been 7 or 8 job offers. Some of them we just haven't made them public. But I just think that it hasn't been the right fit for my family and I. And, you know, I've had a couple of NBA offers to be assistant on the NBA level. And we entertain all of those things, right? And we have the old school pros and cons sheet, you know, and we should go through the process and we check all the boxes. And if it makes sense, we'll make that decision to move forward. And if not, then we'll stay here at North Carolina Central, who's been great and tremendous to me and gave me my first opportunity.
Absolutely fascinating. I want to talk a little bit more about this. Let's take a pause for the cause. We're going to come back and finish our conversation with Lavelle Moten, the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central, right here on From the Press Box to Press Row. All right, we're back here on From the Press Box to Press Row talking with Lavelle Moten, the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central in his 11th season. Interesting. So, you know, let's get back to what we were talking about. Not to belabor the point, but the NBA piece is intriguing. That's super intriguing.
Right.
You know, would your ultimate goal be to be a head coach in the NBA?
You know, I probably have to think about it a little more. I told someone the other day, you know, where I grew up and how I grew up, you know, in those unfortunate circumstances, it really simplified my goals, right? And my goal was strictly to one day retire my mother so she would never have to work again, because I had never seen an individual work that hard. And I just thought life through her and my family a curveball, and everyone else that was in my community a curveball, and it just showed me instantly that life wasn't fair. So my goal in life was just to retire her and make sure she never works again. That was it. It wasn't all these complexities and saying I need to be this and do this and graduate from it. It was none of that. And so I had the opportunity to do that. And what happened is I needed to recreate some more goals, because I accomplished my goal, right? My ultimate life goal was just to retire her, and I accomplished that. And so with that said, I've never, you know, really thought about my next long-term goal, because my dreams and aspirations were never about me. It was always about my mom. And I just think when your dreams become about you, then you had a propensity to quit on yourself or something just don't work out. So that's a great question. I think as I become older and my kids become older, that would definitely be a goal of mine. You know, right now I have young kids, so I don't want to disrupt, you know, what they have going on in terms of their schooling and, you know, they're comfortable and things of that nature. But, you know, it's something that I definitely will consider, and I'll probably aspire to do that one day. Hmm.
Lavelle Moten, the head men's basketball coach, joining us here, North Carolina Central, that is, joining us here on the program. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, growing up, Boston, Raleigh, you do a lot here in Raleigh, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, you came out with the book, The Worst Times Are the Best Times, going back almost about 6 years ago or so, telling your story about growing up in Raleigh, and you sort of mentioned hard times and so forth, and then having the success at North Carolina Central as a player. Then it went on to high school and college and ultimately where you are now. Talk a little bit about that and what led you actually to write that book going back now some almost 6 years.
Yeah, it felt like it was a whisper from God, because I'll be lying if I said I wanted to do it. I never wanted to do it. I partnered with a guy named Ed Robinson, who used to interview me. He was at the local newspaper here in Raleigh called the News and Observer. And we developed a relationship, because he interviewed me when I was a high school coach, and later on when I went on to Central. And he just kept saying, like, he's like, man, your story is fascinating to me. He was like, I just think you need to write a book and share that with the world. And I was like, I ain't interested in that, man. He's like, and so every time he saw me, he would run it by me. And then he said, man, I'm telling you, man, you got to write this book, and, man, please let me come along for the ride with you, man, and so on and so forth. At the time he's telling me this, we're in the middle of the season, so I'm trying to focus on our season. And I think it's 2014, to be exact. And I said, nah, man. And he said, nah, come on, man, let me do it. And I said, well, here's the deal. You got to make sure you stay away. Like, you can be around, but just make sure you stay away so you can gather the information and all of these things that you need to do, but that's that. And I said, the second thing is, I write my own story. Like, I'm not one of these dumb jocks that you just write a story and I sign off on it. Like, no, because these chapters are going to be near and dear to me. I said, now, the third thing is, I don't care about writing a bestseller. I want to write this book and make it cathartic and therapeutic for the next young kid that's going through the things that I went through when I grew up, you know. So I kind of wrote the book to my 14 and 15 year old self because I needed so much help and guidance, and I know what I needed, and I knew what I was suffering from. And, you know, I battled some anxiety and depression growing up, and, you know, I was just kind of a lost individual, and I wasn't as polished as people see now. And I had some hardships, and I had some trials and tribulations, and, you know, I had some family issues, and, you know, I just had to overcome so many trials and tribulations in my life. And I just told him, if anyone can read this book, if a mother or a young man or a family can read this book and it resonates to them, then I feel like I've helped them. And so basically it's 12 chapters of imperfection, 12 chapters of dumb things that I've done, right? That's why it's called The Worst Times Are the Best Times, because I wanted people to see, despite whatever you're going through, despite the hardships and the trials and tribulations, that there will be a brighter day ahead of everything.
Wow. One of the last thoughts, and we appreciate the time. I really, you know, when I think about it and I think about you and just the, you know, you have a relationship with Roy Williams and a relationship with Coach K, and, you know, down the street, a relationship, you know, with Kevin Keats, the quote unquote big three, Here in the triangle. And then I think about all the players you have relationships with, PJ Tucker and, you know, Chris Paul and all of these guys. You're like a centerpiece in this state when it comes to basketball. And I don't think people really understand that and appreciate that. And certainly maybe our listeners outside of the state. What does that mean to you to sort of be in the position you are, coming from where you in fact came from?
Man, it's I've always prided myself on that. I always prided myself on helping people and treating people the way I want to be treated. But I never respected individuals, and I never respected individuals that went out of their way to cultivate a relationship with someone, but they weren't themselves. And the most beautiful thing about the relationships that I have and the relationships that I garnered is that I'm still Lavelle Moton. Regardless of who I'm around, I'm still Lavelle Moton. I treat the CEO and I treat our chancellor the same way I treat the custodian at North Carolina Central. I treat Coach K the same way I would treat anyone else that's walking up to me at Walmart that wants to have a conversation. And at the end of the day, every relationship has been authentic, right? And it's not me having to be a chameleon and putting on different masks and being the 2% or the homogenized version of myself. Like, that's fake. That's phony. And so I developed those relationships simply because I reached out, I humbled myself, and I feel like I could grow from any and everyone. So I'm really, really inquisitive with creative individuals, and I sit there and I talk to them all day because I'm attracted to that, and because I want to apply it to my own life in some capacity or apply it to my program in some capacity. And fortunately, those relationships have been reciprocated, and it just so happens to be, you know, I'm in an area of Tobacco Road where you do have Coach K, and you do have Roy Williams, and you do have Kevin Keats, and you know, some outstanding basketball players and some outstanding political figures and so on and so forth. So I always prided myself on just maintaining and sustaining relationships, because that's what this world is about, relationships. You know, relationships will trump your education. Relationships will trump your body of work. You know what I'm saying? Some one person can make a call and trump 4 years of schooling that you've done. And I had to learn that the hard way, but you know, I understand it now, and that's something I try to imply to my team, is just to make sure you're treating everyone around campus with the utmost respect. You know, I have a good friend now, Ninth Wonder, who went to North Carolina Central with me. And he wasn't this celebrity Grammy Award winning star, you know, when we were in school. He was just a friend who always had a Walkman, but the Walkman was broken, right? And people laughed. One of the headphones to the Walkman was always broke. But we developed a good relationship. And this was 1993 at the time. You know, we were young freshmen, and we developed a great relationship. And since then, he's went on to produce for Jay-Z and Beyonce and won a Grammy, and he's an award-winning producer and, you know, has a record label, and he's connected with Roc Nation and, you know, any and everyone. And people ask me, how did I cultivate that relationship? Well, we were friends since 1993. I didn't know he was going to be what he was going to be. He probably didn't know I was going to be who I was going to be. But we just had a mutual respect for one another. And so that's how all of these relationships are formed and also sustained.
Yeah. Lastly, how can we, you know, I know it's been a couple of years. Book's been out, like I said, almost 6 years. How can we still go about purchasing the book?
Yeah, it's still on Amazon, man. So it's doing well, and we got it a lot. We got it in the school systems a lot, and you know, that was one thing I was really, really proud of. It's that, you know, it was fluctuating throughout our community, and you know, single mothers, like that's been the biggest demographic that has hit. Single mothers was calling and saying, my son has to read this book, and it's going to resonate with him, and I love your story, and so on and so forth. So I'm just happy that I could be vulnerable and share my story with other people who are going through similar experiences. So it's on Amazon.
All right. Lavelle Moton, again, just completed his 11th season as the head men's basketball coach at North Carolina Central, taking some time to join us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. Coach Moton, I always appreciate the time, man, and you and your family, the North Carolina Central community, continue to be safe, man. And lastly, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, it's a dead period, I guess, right now. What are you sort of doing right now to prepare for 2021?
You know what, we're actually recruiting. Like, it's a new form of recruiting because we're recruiting online, right? And it's really weird because it's like, it's almost like trying to date someone based off their profile picture. And you never met them. You never spent time with them. So it's just all online right now. But we have to assemble a team, you know, for the following year. And you know, we have to recruit. So I think every coach in America is doing that right now, and it's difficult because, you know, this is new. It's no face-to-face interaction, and that's how I've always done it, you know, since the day I got the job. So this is definitely, you know, a novelty for every coach out there.
Yeah, no question. Continued success to you and the Eagles.
You too, man. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me.
North Carolina Central head men's basketball coach Lavelle Moton right there with us here on the program. And generally speaking, during the course of the season, you'll get an opportunity to talk with coaches. We do about a segment or so, somewhere between 10 and 12 minutes, sometime a little bit longer. But because of everybody sort of relaxing a little bit right now and being a little bit more relaxed, so it gave us an opportunity to really get in depth with Coach Moton. You know a lot about the stuff on the surface, but and he's been listen. Lavelle Moton has been coming on this program since I would say his first year at North Carolina Central, which I believe was the 2009-2010 season. So he's been coming on the program quite some time, and we don't really get a chance to really get in depth with him and talk about the things we talk with him about today. Less about the X's and O's. Well, we talked about the X's and O's and the players and all of that, but really talking about maybe some of his future endeavors. You know, his history, his background. He wrote a book about his experiences in life. So I hope you got something from that interview. Any thoughts you may have on anything that Lavelle Moton may have said, hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2, ROW. Again, on my personal Twitter account, at DWare1. and on Instagram, on my personal Instagram account, where Donald, also on the other side, going to resume the conversation with respect to NFL free agency, and more specifically, Cam Newton and Jameis Winston.
It's Donald Ware, from the press box to press row.
Fascinating conversation in the last two segments with North Carolina Central head men's basketball coach Lavelle Moten. A lot of interesting things he had to say, and I asked him about the possibility of coaching at or in a bigger conference or bigger schools. He mentioned the fact that he had some NBA offers to being, I'm assuming, an assistant coach in the NBA. I asked him, was that an aspiration to perhaps one day, because I never thought about it that way. You generally think, when you think you're in a certain situation, and that's why you can't really put people in a box. You're thinking, okay, college, next level would be, I would think. And again, this is the other thing about that, though. Like, if you have a love for what you do, and I think Lavelle Moten has a love for what he does, but not only for what he does, more specifically at North Carolina Central. He's a graduate of the university. And so sometimes all that other stuff doesn't really, you know, it's all about what you want to do. And if he has a love for what he's doing at his university, I mean, you can have all the offers you want. But as he mentioned, it is something that he has aspirations to do. But with respect to the NBA deal, I asked him, well, do you want to be, or would you want to be an NBA coach? He said it's something he had never really thought about, and something he would, I mean, a head coach, that is, and would have to really think about. Your thoughts on anything that Lavelle Moten had to say, hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or on Facebook, BOX2ROW. So, in the first segment, we talked about Jameis Winston. We talked about Cam Newton. And let me get back to Jameis Winston. And the question that I posed is Jameis Winston a starting quarterback in the National Football League? And I would answer that question with an emphatic yes. Listen, you know, you can look at one season if you want to. You can look at two seasons if you want to. And again, the eye test for me from the time he entered the National Football League in 2015 said to me, this guy's going to be pretty good, to the point that, to his next season, 16, was solid, to the point that 2017 was a pretty good season. Now, yes, 2018, not so much. Depends upon how you want to judge 2019. I mean, again, for me, professional sports, it's not about the numbers. And I think even at the beginning of the season, or towards the beginning, once the season had started, I even said, I think Jameis Winston is going to be fine this year. I think he's a good quarterback. And a lot of that I was judging based upon what I've seen with the eye test. And if you're into the numbers, and again, you know, I'll use numbers to support the argument. And then I want to talk about some of the other quarterbacks that have come through, and maybe even some current quarterbacks as it relates to Jameis Winston and whether or not he's a starting quarterback. Because to me, that has been some of the question. Is he? Yes, Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback in the National Football League. But I'll also get to why I think this year in particular will be a problem for Jameis Winston. If you look at the numbers this year, 61% of his passes completed. Okay, maybe not great by National Football League standards, especially nowadays when guys are completing, you know, if you're completing from a numbers perspective, if you're into the numbers, you're completing 65% of your passes. That's pretty solid. But for 5,109 yards, okay, in excess of 5,000 yards, that doesn't happen every year. 33 touchdowns. Yes, he had 30 interceptions on the season. Way too many interceptions. There's no question about that. But let me compare, because I've heard, you know, he's a guy that throws the ball in the Bruce Arians offense. It's an offense where you chuck the ball and you're going to have some interceptions. I mean, look at a guy like a Brett Favre, and by no way am I comparing Jameis Winston to Brett Favre in totality. I am just saying in terms of styles and throwing the football down the field. Did Brett Favre not throw an astronomical amount of interceptions? An astronomical amount. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers right here. If you look at year three, or his second full year in the National Football League, 19 touchdowns. He threw 24 interceptions that year. He had the 2005 year, which was the Aaron Rodgers year when the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round, and it was all of that talk about he didn't want to help Aaron Rodgers along and all of that kind of stuff. I remember that vividly. We had started from the press box to press row that year, and that was a lot of the topic of conversation. Brett Favre had 20 touchdowns, threw 29 interceptions that year. My point is, you're going to have some bad seasons. I mean, listen, this is his fifth year in the league. To try to assume or talk about what the future of Jameis Winston is and whether or not he's a starting quarterback in the National Football League based upon one season, okay, or if you want to go back to 2018, let's go back to 2018, to two seasons, makes no sense. But if you look, even if you look at Brett Favre's numbers, he had a couple of years where he threw more touchdowns than he did interceptions. If you look at what Winston has done, he's never had a year where he's thrown more interceptions to this point than touchdowns. He hasn't had that to happen to him to this point. Let's look at, you know, everybody tells me, and I haven't really, like, the Jets are not a very good football team. They don't play on TV, on national TV that much. So I'm not going to sit back and pretend like I've sat around and watched the New York Jets play football. But if I want to look at what Sam Darnold has done in his first couple of seasons and compare it to what a guy like Jameis Winston did in his first couple of seasons, if I'm just looking at numbers, that's the only thing I can really go on, because I've seen Sam Darnold, but the times I've seen him play a little bit, you know, I haven't been like, if people are saying he's going to be a good quarterback, I'm okay with that. That's fine. If you think so, I'm good with that. I mean, I haven't been overly impressed the small amount of times that I've seen him, but it's not a large enough sample for me to really be able to judge. At the end of the day, if I look at the numbers, Darnold's first season completed 58% of his passes, just under 2,900 yards, 17 touchdowns to 15 interceptions, had a 77.6 quarterback rating. You look at last year, it was better. 62% of his passes completed, 3,024 yards, 19 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. So we can talk about how great of a quarterback Sam Darnold is going to be and all of these kind of things, and I give you those sort of, I mean, those are solid numbers for a first-year guy. Like, I'm not going to try to poo-poo that. I mean, like, those are solid numbers for a first-year guy. And this isn't about Sam Darnold. I'm just trying to make a comparison. But you're going to try to tell me, is Jameis Winston a starting quarterback in the National Football League? Of course, the answer is emphatically yes. The problem with Jameis Winston is this, which is also could be a problem with Cam Newton, but not to the degree, because Cam Newton has proven himself from day one in the National Football. He's an NFL MVP and has led the Panthers to a Super Bowl appearance. There are not enough spots currently for the quarterbacks that there are only like four teams left where there could be an opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. You know, and I mean, there, if you just judge it by, okay, are both Newton and Winston better than some of the other younger guys that are with respective teams, i.e. a Sam Darnold, then the answer to that question is yes. But teams, and rightfully so, are going to look at these guys as franchise guys, and you can't really look at their first couple of seasons. And I mean, that to me, I mean, I think where certainly for Winston, he gets caught up in the numbers. He's going to get lost in the numbers. He's probably going to have to sign with the team as a backup quarterback, unfortunately, which he doesn't deserve. And who knows? I mean, I hope Cam Newton doesn't have to do the same. But again, I think the real question mark about Cam Newton is not whether he can play. I think, you know, you can question Winston and some of maybe even some of his maturity things and on the field. At the end of the day, he can play. I think Newton obviously is a more established and a better quarterback, so he's going to have a better opportunity. The issue with Newton, however, is that Newton is has been injured and really has been injured the last year and a half. Hasn't played a whole lot of football in the last year and a half. Your thoughts? I think Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback in the National Football League. I believe, you know, that he is in a respect getting a raw deal, but I also do believe that he's also going to get caught up in the numbers as well. Your thoughts? Hit me up via Twitter at Box to Row, BOXTOROW, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2 ROW. We're going to take this conversation to social media, and I'll answer your questions on next week's edition from the Press Box to Press Row as we got to get ready to get out of here. Don't forget about Box to Row, which airs each and every Saturday. Each and every Saturday, 7 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Central Time, 4 a.m. Pacific Time on Sirius XM Channel 141, where we give you the best in sports and entertainment. As a matter of fact, we have a bit of a special going on, a special show, I would say, going on right now, where we're looking back at some of our best interviews, both sports wise and non-sports wise, or celebrities from the first 3 months of this year. Thank you to Lavelle Moten for joining us today here on From the Press Box to Press Row. For more information on the program, log on to our website at boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support you. From the Press Box to Press Row is presented by DW Communications.